Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Halfway there. Congratulations. It feels even better this time of year to me because that means you're halfway back to Saturday.
Yes.
College football. Plus tomorrow you got a game Thursday night. So kind of a little sneaky, like taste of the weekend. You got Monday Night Football on Mondays. You got college games on Fridays. I don't know. This year feels like the weekends are always a little bit longer.
It's
you know?
Still nicer. And it's still nice outside.
Right, it's still nice outside. You know I haven't got cold yet.
Yeah,
so.
Dog. Yeah. And I'm just happy because I saw it's supposed to get back up in the 90s.
Yeah, it'll be 90 Thank like you. Monday.
Yeah, so I need that back in my life.
It's early September. Yes. You guys got summer still. It's coming back.
Why you say y'all?
Because I'm fine with this. This is fine. It was 57 degrees when I got up this morning. That
Dude,
is fine.
I walked outside to get in my car, and it was exactly 57 degrees because I had to look.
Yeah.
Not only was I cold, but I'm like, oh, my God, it's about time that we have to stop putting or leaving our softball bats in the trunk. It's not good to leave them in the outside in cold weather.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. What's the temperature?
Composite bats will crack if you hit with them after they've been left in a trunk or
really?
Outside. Huh. Usually under 50 degrees is when I'd, you know, in the 40s.
I'm with
– that's good. That's good info. I didn't know
what's
that.
What's the pain in that? Ain't nothing worse because, you know, being a little league dad or, park dad now – there's nothing worse than having to unpack that damn truck every single time.
Man.
All the chairs, the wagons. Like, I'm a wagon dad, Andy.
I know you are.
Like, damn.
You kind of have to be, man.
Dude, I'm like.
Different kind of wagon than you used to be.
Yeah, man. I used to be smacking that. Well, I still smack that wagon, but still. You know, but yeah. It's like one thing. I get the wagon out. Got to get all the chairs out. She has this new thing where the back support thing for the bleachers.
Okay.
Okay. She has
those
back,
are good to have.
Yeah, she has that right there. We got three chairs. We got umbrellas. You know, then, like, last week I was in charge of all the gate aids.
So you guys are practically, like, going to the beach.
Pretty much.
Every time you go to one of these
Pretty
games.
Much. Right. Yeah, dog, I'm like. And then you got to have Sebastian because he got to sit in the damn wagon. So you got to bring
I love riding the wagon.
Got to bring him along with the damn wagon. So, yeah, man, I ain't never thought.
I got like, a hard-sided wagon.
I borrowed yours.
And a
I borrowed your beach wagon.
You did,
yeah, but I never, you know, because it's, you know, when the kids were, when they were, the other kids were this small, just one chair.
Right. It was pre-wagon.
It was pre-wagon.
People didn't do a lot of wagons.
We carried, like, dads, we had it all in our hands.
Uh-huh.
We had chairs. We could carry the cooler, everything. Now, it just seems like we need wagons now.
And I do like them, I will say. Like, in that setting, it's good. The problem is we use them for the beach, and those tires don't do anything with the sand.
Yeah.
That soft sand, you're not doing that. You're pulling a sled at that point. It makes it worse.
Don't get me started.
You know?
But I don't ever take it out. So every morning when I'm driving, make a turn, it'll shift in the back. Like, damn, it's the wagon and stuff back there because I didn't take it out. Isn't that right now? I'm taking it out.
Yeah. I got a Elsa power wheel in the back of my car right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I got that.
You bought that for her, actually.
Yeah.
I had to replace the battery, so I had to take it to the store and see what battery it needed because it needs like a car battery.
Yeah, just take it out.
I did, but I just put the whole thing
in. Okay.
Because I didn't have the time to take it out.
She still rides that thing?
Yeah, it's a good. Now, the battery went out, but
right.
We got a new one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's how long she been rode that thing. The battery went out.
Quality. And now Jack's riding it, kind of, and I feel a little bad because it's like, well, we probably need to get him a slightly more manly one.
Yeah.
But
paint it. Paint it black.
I've thought about that. Not that one. I'm going to get him his own power wheel for his next birthday. That's what we're going to do. Because that was always, when I was a kid, that was my, in my mind, that was, if you had a power wheel,
your
family must be wealthy.
You were that guy, man.
And it's not true, whatever.
You were that dude. But where we lived, nobody had a damn power because nobody was that dude.
Every once in a while, you'd go to somebody's house or something like that. They had a car for a child.
Yes,
these people must be millionaires,
dude. They had the power wheel.
Yeah,
all right. And they ate when there's they ate off regular plates during gatherings.
Yeah. But I'm not gonna do that with that one. But she does have one of those big wheels, you know. That you ride for about 9 months.
Could you spin out on the big wheel?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, you take that Tokyo Drift corner. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. But you go from the big wheel to a bike with training wheels pretty fast.
Yes.
To the point where I don't need to buy a whole new one. The problem is is a Barbie one, so it's purple and pink.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I get some spray paint and kind of detail it in the back, we can boy it up.
Yeah.
It only needs to be 9 to 12 months.
I agree with you.
Okay, good.
I agree with you.
All right, we're on the same
page. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to get some, like get a little racing stripes or something like that, spray paint it. We're good. He won't know.
Now, I got, like, 6 bikes at the house.
Okay.
All the kids have had bikes, and all of them, I just collect all of them. So there's like 6 bikes at my house.
All right.
Training wheels still on everything.
Okay.
So let me know.
I will, actually.
Let me know.
Because she's still working on the training wheels. And all right, good. I will.
Yeah,
I will
let me know.
All right. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right. So we'll start here. Jalen Carter fined $57,222.
A game check.
That's a game check. Yeah. For spitting on Dak Prescott. They also said the ejection counts as a suspension because he did miss the entire game.
Right.
And that's that.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. I thought he'd get a game, but then I thought to myself, would they include that as the game? Because he didn't play a damn snap of the game. Obviously, that's what they did. And then they got this new thing where they're like, okay, I'll take it. We'll give him this as long as he doesn't appeal it. Bam, 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 go and bite your business.
Right.
You know, and so,
I do wonder, say, because it seems to be, because it happened in the Florida game, like people are spitting on people now,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
don't do that. But so say it happens in the second quarter next time. Does that guy get kicked out of that game and suspended the next game?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm assuming if you're a two-time offender, which he would be.
Oh, if he does it, he'll get suspended for multiple
games.
Yeah,
but game check, everything. Now, I saw a lot of people saying, do the Eagles do something? Do the Eagles do something as far as internal discipline?
Mm.
No. They're not going to do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he already out the game check, though, by getting kicked out of the game?
No. He was fine. If you get ejected out of the game, you still get your money.
Okay. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You still get paid. Yeah. But now,
so they take the game check from him. That makes it a suspension.
Yeah. Like, say if he got the fight in the game and got ejected, no, he still gets his game check, but he'll get fined by the league.
If you're for a game, you don't get the game check.
No.
But the Eagles keep it, not the NFL.
Yes.
So now the Eagles just got to send that check to the NFL.
Yeah, but if you get like the team oriented fines go into this, I'm damn sure using the air quotes, this charity.
Uh huh. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So that's what they say.
Yeah.
Anytime you like you throw a ball in the stands or something like that, they say that goes to charity.
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
Whatever.
49ers place George Kittle on IR. He will miss at minimum the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That is for a team that was already pretty injured at the pass catching position. Bad news for them.
Yeah, it came down late in the show. I mean, they said he was going to miss multiple games, so I'm not surprised by the IR designation. I don't know, because they came out Brock Purdy's banged up too with his toe in his shoulder, so we don't know how that goes. But you're right, man. You guys have Christian McCaffrey, right?
We do.
And Brian Robinson. Y'all might want to start both of them.
We might. Yeah, that's all they have.
Yeah, that's all they got, man. Y'all might want to start both of them.
Seriously.
Yeah.
What else? They also cut Moody, their kicker, the 49ers.
Yeah, that came down on the show
So we got teams moving on from kickers. That was a third-round draft pick, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I saw where the Browns, they cut their kicker. They got a young guy. He's going to be the kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of the things. And then, we talked yesterday about performance-based business and all those different things. The kid for the Jets, the returner, who fumbled that damn ball, AG was like, okay, you got to go. You cost us a damn football game, so he's cut. So, I mean, it comes at you fast, man. You think you're on the 53, and then all of a sudden you make a mistake, which it was a big mistake in the game. And they went ahead and we needed a new returner because that was a big mistake in the game.
Packers gave Christian Watkins a 1-year extension.
How about that?
As he's recovering from, obviously, the injury that he's still dealing with, the torn ACL.
He's a baller,
he's
man.
A really good
he's
wide receiver.
A baller.
Kind of cool. He gets an extension, not playing.
Yeah, and I was reading up on it last night when they were just saying, it's basically like the Packers saying, this is something you ain't got to worry about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Just give him an extension. And it's a 1-year extension for next year. And so he can. They're basically saying so he can take his time in rehab instead of like trying to rush back and get back on the field.
Look at
and everything.
That. What a nice organization!
I was like, how about that? That's a pretty cool gesture right there.
I thought my mind immediately goes to, is that somehow that they can move some money around this year to extend him next year, move the money around to clear?
Well, that's
some
why
space.
when I read up on it after I saw the thing, that's what they said was the reason why.
Okay. Well. Yeah. We'll take them at their word.
Hell yeah, good for them, man. Good for them. Steelers signed Jabril Peppers. Which I'm still confused why the Patriots cut him. He's still playing at a high level.
Yeah.
Did him and Vrabel not get along?
Could be.
I
don't know. It sounds like the Broncos are trying to build a new stadium.
Dude.
Retractable roof.
Dude.
Why? It's Denver.
It's Denver. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Denver, dog, but Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah. That's the reason why. But they're talking about privately funded. Well, hell, the Walmart people own it.
Yeah, it should be privately
funded. It should be privately funded. Yeah, it should be privately funded.
You got plenty of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be privately funded. So the same thing for the Bears. They're trying to get them a new stadium. They're talking about doing it privately funded. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's y'all stadium. It's for y'all team.
It is. Right, exactly. You guys own the team. You're going to get all the money from all the ticket sales and everything and the Super Bowl coming and all of that. It is interesting, though, with all these cold weather cities, because they're talking about the same thing in Chicago. Mm. They want to have a dome or have a retractable roof or something like that.
Super Bowl in Chicago.
I think that's part of it.
Ooh-hoo.
I also wonder, like, how much do they just – they want to take out the – like the weather factor late in season in some of these games.
That's a soft-ass reasoning.
I agree with that.
But I understand it. I understand. It's a soft-ass reason. Like, I played in Soldier Field in freaking middle of December. It was the worst, but it was fun as hell.
Yeah, it's Soldier Field in December. It was Soldier Field in
December. It was awesome. Obviously, I played Buffalo so many times when it was cold.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was cool in that whole element. And how they were talking about how the Bills Stadium is built like – it's basically like only the visitor side is going to be cold or something like that. Huh. It's like they got this whole structure.
Oh, I saw that on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
They were talking about how the wind's going to blow and the visitors are going to have to deal with this with the home team.
Yeah, man, which is pretty cool.
If it turns out like that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. But I know. I mean, I don't like the cold and I hate playing in the cold. But sometimes in certain places, like playing in Green Bay was awesome. It wasn't freezing, but it was chilly.
Yeah. I just feel like so much of what's happening right now is to try to create a controlled environment for the games.
Yes.
Everything they want everything to be like predictable. And I don't know if that's for gambling purposes
it could be. But
I just think so much of the character of so much of this stuff is the elements sometimes.
But these teams now, I mean, how much like cities getting a Super Bowl
that's is part of it too.
Big part of it. Yep. And I mean a Super Bowl in Chicago.
That would be cool.
That'd be awesome. A Super Bowl in Denver, because Denver's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like this would, you know, so that has a lot to do with it.
Do they have a site for the Chicago one yet? Or they're still talking about it?
No. I
just wish they would do it where Soldier Field is. That's just kind of a cool.
Yeah. But then you got blow ups. Well, they're going to get rid of it anyways.
Yeah.
And then also.
Where they play? They could play at Northwestern for
also
a couple years.
Other revenues. I always talk about like having concerts and all that other crap.
Yep. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into some college football conversation. A bunch of big ones this week. Georgia and Tennessee, Georgia Tech and Clemson, among others. We'll get into all of those after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Another pool party I wish I was at.
No kidding.
Who's better pool party? This pool party or tip drill pool party?
Tip drill.
Yeah.
They had to show that video after midnight.
Yeah, tip drill video.
All right, that answers your question.
Never mind.
There.
I think about it after I said it. Yeah, never mind.
Both look fun, though.
Yeah, it looked like fun.
Both look like fun. Yeah. I've been to some cool pool parties. I'm sure you have, too.
Yeah. Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, no.
Not even close.
Pool party days are probably behind us, though.
Oh, yeah.
Pool parties are different now.
Pool parties are different. Yeah, there's kids.
There's kids at the pool party now. Yeah, that's right.
But no, we've been to grown-up pool parties. I'll tell you who's had the funnest pool parties. When everybody, you didn't live for then, but like when athletes would have their quote-unquote their weekend. And, like, here in Atlanta, man, Tequila and Carlos used to have the 51 Ways weekend up here in Atlanta.
Oh, they would just be, like, their –
Yeah.
This is our weekend
parties and everything. And they used to have a pool party right down the street.
Do people still do that?
I don't think so.
God, but they really should.
They used to have a pool party down the street, right?
Okay.
And I'm talking about – it was – but that was – it was always a joke because we would all come in. From all different teams, we all come in. And they were like, you got to fuss with your lady, right? It's like, yeah, I started an argument, so I go. I tell you what, then. I tell you, Just like anything you could try to do to get your ass to Atlanta
by
that weekend.
By yourself.
By yourself.
Yeah,
for 51 Ways with with Spikes and Emmons.
Where was it?
It was different places, but this the hotel right downtown is where the pool party would be.
Okay.
In that indoor pool. Man. Whoo boy. Again, for Instagram, they were still thick, Andy. Instagram, they were still.
Maybe that's why they don't do them.
Yeah, before Instagram, they were still thick.
Maybe that's why, because people would just be on TikTok and video it.
That
put
could
it online.
Be it. That could be it.
Back, I mean, I'm just going to make assumptions.
Yeah.
But I assume you guys were doing some stuff you maybe didn't want on social media.
It's not even that. It was like you could just have. Everybody was more focused on having a good time.
You were present.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, we having a good ass time. I ain't got time to get my damn phone out.
Yeah, I don't need proof of this.
Yeah, hell no.
I got a memory for
that. Yeah, man. But yeah, oh, what a time to be alive.
Maybe that's what it is.
What
another
a time.
Casualty of social media.
What a time.
All right, let's talk some college football. Let's get to the college football corner. All right, let's listen to Kirby Smart here talking about going into Knoxville, going into Neyland. Tough environment. Obviously, Gunnar Stockton's first true road game. As a college quarterback,
yep.
Here's Kirby.
Your approach to your game planning is, defensively and offensively, you have to think about that. And me being in this league for a long time, it plays a factor on the ability to execute when you're in an environment that maybe someone's never been in. And you have to be smart about what you're asking them to execute, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. Who can execute, who can block and tackle, and who can be physical?
Well, I mean – yes, that place is loud as hell. It is. Nobody will ever tell you that it's not. No, it is a loud place. It's not impossible to win there, as Georgia's obviously done, I mean, however many straight years. But your first start there, I remember my first start in Neyland. It was loud. I had offsides penalty, you know. But, yeah, it's going to be a point where you don't let it get to you and make you do those type of things, jumping offsides, everything like that. The execution, they don't – call snap count any damn ways, you know.
That's true.
You know, it's just better than, you know, to be able to, because as great of an atmosphere as it is, and it is a great damn atmosphere, when you're kicking their ass, they ain't loud. They like any other fans.
Oh, yeah, you can make it nice and quiet.
Yeah, you make it nice and quiet.
I mean, the last handful of times Georgia's been up there, it's been
quiet.
Pretty quiet by halftime.
Don't let it be close in the fourth quarter, though, because then, you're going to hear that. You're going to hear it here. It's going to be so damn loud up in there. Yeah, but execution the key.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just one of those things where having not played in that before, you know, you find out. I mean, you either do execute and you're able to be like, all right.
Don't let it shock you.
This is what the preparation is. Or it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, don't let it shock you, the fact of, you know. Because
it has.
Because
some.
Gunner's been there.
Sure.
He's on a travel squad. He just went out there. Right. Now, it's a difference between, like, on the sideline and then in between the sidelines. There's a difference.
Right. No, but I mean that's part of it. I don't expect that to be a huge part of it, but who knows? Maybe it will be. The parts of it that I find really hard to say for sure is just I don't know a ton about this Georgia football team after 2 weeks.
Man.
And how could you?
Nope.
My whole belief in what I think that they're going to do on Saturday is based on faith in Kirby and track record of program.
Yep.
Right?
I think that was the whole thing coming into this season. I think that what you just said was what Georgia football was coming into the season. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
That's right.
You don't know.
And here's the thing though. The reason why you can go into this and still be confident as a Georgia fan or just someone picking the game or whatever is because Georgia's kind of done this before, right? Like, it's not unusual to see a Kirby Smart team kind of look pedestrian against an inferior opponent, right?
It sucks.
It sucks. It's no fun for you guys to have to watch them, the team that you know is talented, go through the motions on Saturday against a team like Austin Peay or whoever it might have been in years past. But then you fast forward to the next Saturday, and they're against a legitimate opponent, and they look legitimate.
Yeah.
They look like
they
one
play
of the best
the competition.
Teams in the country. Or above it.
Or above, yeah.
And in the history of Kirby versus Heupel in this matchup, what is the Heupel era Tennessee program been built on to you? Like what would you tell someone who maybe isn't super familiar with Tennessee? Like, this is what he's done and this is why he's gotten them back to being.
Well, I think the biggest thing is because his offense is a spectacular offense.
Exactly.
It is. It's a spectacular offense. But his best units have been his defense. I think Tennessee's front seven is great now. The advantage that Georgia's going to have, their two starting corners are out of this game.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the offense of Josh Heupel, it's a fun-ass offense, college offense that, you know, is legendary. The splits are all wide and all those different things, all this space and stuff like that.
They run it great.
And they run it and everything like that. But his best units have been the defense these last couple of years.
No, I would say the thing that people probably would first go to is the offense, and rightfully so. Yeah. But then they're really physical. And they've got good players on defense. And here's the thing, though. My point was, even though that's been true, and they've probably had offenses that are even going to be better than the one this year, he never scored 20 points on Kirby's defense
yet. Not one time.
They've had four tries and some really good offenses. They haven't been able to do it yet. So they look really good. It's an offense that's perfect to exploit, like,
bad teams,
inferior or average, whatever teams. But when you have the great athletes that Georgia tends to have, and I think that they do have this year, you win one-on-one matchups, you take a lot of what Tennessee can do away.
But I think the biggest thing with them is, you know, it's with this offense is you can't let it get going.
Yeah.
You remember that? Because it's a fast-paced offense, too. And it's one of those things where Georgia's done a great job for the most part. They didn't let them get that offense rolling. You know, it wasn't, okay, first half, let's go. Georgia has done an excellent job of slowing their pace down. And so they've got to definitely do that on Saturday.
Joey Aguilar's also never played in an SEC game either.
No.
So as much as Gunnar Stockton hadn't played a road game, he did play in a college football playoff game last year and the second half of the SEC championship game.
And he let him go in the second half of the
brought him back from behind.
Yeah. Even though, I mean.
Now, we're going to find out on Saturday. Like, because, again, I don't think either one of us can say for sure what he is and what he's going to be. But we're going to find out a little bit more on Saturday. And then, obviously, Clemson comes here to Atlanta to take on Georgia Tech. That's a noon kickoff. Tech's off to a nice start this year. Clemson, not so much. They lost their first game, down 16-0 last weekend. They came back and won 27-16, but certainly not the start Clemson expected to get off to this year. This is a juicy one on Saturday, man.
This is 3.5 spread, huh?
Same as Georgia and Tennessee.
Oh,
they both have the same spread.
Oh, man. I think it's going to be a physical football game. I know that, you know, Coach Key, it sounds a little ornery yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, it sounded a little ornery.
About a 4-minute press conference.
Like, it's piss hot right now.
That started 10 minutes early.
Yeah. No, yeah. Brent Key piss hot right now.
Good.
Good. And he wants this game. I mean, obviously, he wants to beat Georgia more than anything, but he wants this one. He wants this one.
Well, here's the thing about the Brent Key era Georgia Tech teams. They play well in these games. They're 6-1 against ranked ACC opponents.
Yes.
Obviously, they played well in the Georgia game last year.
Yes.
Like when he's like that, they're like that.
Yes. Real, real moody.
Yeah.
In a bad damn mood. And I promise you that Brent Key and Georgia Tech are going to show up Saturday afternoon in a real bad damn mood. And I mean, Georgia show up, because somebody played the clip yesterday because they did the Georgia highlight of when John Gruden spoke to him and said, "You guys are the freaking nightmare." That's what Brent Key wants to do to you. He wants to physically beat the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Can his quarterback come along with it?
Yeah, that's the key.
That's going to be – because Haynes King has to be Haynes King.
Yep, has to be great.
For Georgia Tech to win.
Yep.
And what I mean by that, I ain't talking about – he's going to have to make some throws.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the physicality that he plays with. He's got to bring that.
He's going to have to do what he did in the second half against Colorado.
Pretty much.
And they have to make sure they don't do what they did in the first half.
Yes.
Bad
snaps. Can't turn them all over, all those different
bad
things.
Bad communication.
I think Clemson will take advantage of that. The thing with Clemson is, will the real Clemson please stand up?
Right.
Because is Clemson the real last 2 weeks a high team?
Right.
Or are they the team that a lot of people, again, myself included, had these expectations on? And so it's going to be an all-out dogfight over there at the flat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is. It's one or the other. Either Clemson just isn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible because we've seen them play two games now and they just haven't looked all that great. Or they just haven't played well yet and they're super fired up for this game and they finally look like they're supposed to.
Do you think Georgia Tech plays both quarterbacks?
Both quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Because
Follow threw the hell out of the ball last week.
Yeah, I could see it a little.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see it a little. I don't know. I never loved that, but I could see that. We got time to say who we think wins.
Okay.
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Dog fans or anybody else, if you're heading up to the big game in Knoxville, be sure to make a pit stop at Twin Peaks in Chattanooga. Dukes and Bell, we're there broadcasting live from 2-6, breaking down Saturday's matchup while enjoying the food, drinks, and definitely the scenic views of Twin Peaks in Chattanooga. It's easy to stop right off of I-75 at the state line. Dukes and Bell, Fridays on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll come back, get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. 20 minutes away from the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock
because
hour.
Because I have never
get
met
you caught up on everything. Ree Morris said at the press availability earlier today. Some updates on the wide receivers.
Oh, yeah.
As it stands right now, sounds pretty good.
It sounds good
for Darnell Mooney and Drake London. We will see. He also did say that the competition at kicker begins today.
Yeah, which is
a terrible sentence.
It's
to hear.
It's a terrible sentence, and it's like okay, because I'm envisioning how this is going to go. Because usually, doing practice, you have the special teams period, and then they'll do some kicks. The kickers usually kicks. So. Is somebody going to get, like, is it who makes them? Obviously, who makes them? Like, who misses all five and he makes all four? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like going to be an alternating thing.
I wonder the same thing.
Like, I've never seen before.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
I mean, we were kind of joking about it yesterday. Yeah. Like, yeah. Have him play horse or something.
Yeah.
Kicker horse. See who can outdo the other one.
My thing, this is my thing, though. Because you're always competing, but technically they are teammates. And so if one of them makes a kick, does the other one come and give him five? Good job.
Right.
Hell no.
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 No, I mean.
I'm talking to the snapper. Hey, man.
Come on.
Come on, Doug.
Talking to the holder.
Turn over.
Laces in. Laces in.
Yeah.
Laces in.
Yeah. But I'm sure it won't.
Yeah, I mean, Parker Romo's trying to get that game check.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Hell yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't make this.
And he from here?
Yeah. He doesn't win this competition. I don't know what happens. You just cut him again? Probably.
Yeah.
You didn't keep him on the practice squad. You just cut him again. So, yeah, he's trying to get that game check on Sunday and keep this job. I mean. Vet minimum for, I don't know what it all works out to, but if he's on the team for the rest of the year, I bet he makes about $1 million.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Raheem on the kicking situation in Atlanta, that's a cut and dry position. Yes, it is.
Pretty
either you make
simple.
Him or you don't.
Pretty simple.
Wouldn't be having this conversation if they were made. True.
Yep.
Asked if Parker Romo actually has a chance to play. Said they'll know more through the evaluation this week. Definitely didn't close out the door on either one of those guys.
Yeah, because that's the thing. If Kuz the kicker Sunday, that means Romo came in and just wasn't good.
Basically.
You're right, couldn't beat him.
Basically.
Because I wonder this. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because
right.
Because we talked about this with like some of the vets they signed in free agency to compete with the draft picks.
Yeah.
They wanted the draft picks to win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Do you think that they care one way or the
nope.
other who wins this?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lean
no,
at all.
No, they do not.
I just want one of you guys to look better.
My thing is, I mean, obviously, if you make more than him, but is that enough? Meaning, is that enough if this dude Romo isn't as good as Kuz in practice? Is that enough for you to be confident to go up there to Minneapolis with Kuz kicking?
Right.
No. For me, no.
The fact that this is happening is proof that there's no confidence in Kuz.
Yeah.
And why would there be?
Right.
Like, obviously, we're not, you know, this isn't a mystery.
Yeah.
He missed a bunch of kicks. And then he had a chance to send the game to overtime on Sunday and missed a 44-yarder. Like, that's, you know, that's why this is happening. So there's already no confidence in him. I don't know. I hope Romo does enough to give them confidence in him and we can move forward. Like we said with Dave, we've spent enough time talking about this. Rightfully so. It's part of the story, and it's one of the big stories coming out of game one. But if we can go the rest of the season and talking about the kicker isn't needed, that means whoever got this job this week did a good job.
Yes.
And I hope that's what happens.
Yes.
Because Dave, with another Archer, like always, a great stat. We talked in the 11 o'clock hour of the 18 games that Raheem has coached now as head coach of the Atlanta Falcons last year in the first game this year, 13 of them in one score games.
Mm-hmm.
So you
that's
need
how always are.
You need a kicker. You need a kicker who can make the kicks. All right. Let's get to the back page with Bo.
How did we get here?
Brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SalomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
I want to give a shout out to another listener. I actually gave this listener a shout out about 6 or so, 7 months ago, whatever.
Well, they asked, like,
I saw him again.
Did they ask, did you shout me out, bro?
No, actually, he didn't. I'm talking to you, Scott, who is probably listening right now. Scott and his lovely wife were down at the Truist Club last night. I learned something interesting about Scott. So not only does his wife work with McKenna and they're, you know, selling stuff, but they're going to try to get Scott to be able to come up here and sit like in the studio and watch part of the show one day. So hopefully we can make that happen. Oh. But Scott and his wife are the only couple to have ever been married on the 50-yard line at the Georgia Dome.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn.
And the only ones that will.
Yeah. And the only ones that will.
Nobody will ever do that again.
They blew that thing up.
Yeah. But he showed me pictures of it last night. It's actually really cool. They gave him one of the clubs for the reception and stuff like that. And
that's awesome.
Sometimes all you really have to do is ask somebody, hey, can we make this happen? And a lot of times people are willing to make stuff happen for you.
Where would you want to get married? Now we're married, but like if you and Tara decided to do it, if you were going to have like a unique location like that?
Off the top of my head, it would probably be Truist Park or the Superdome.
That would be cool because you guys did work there together.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that. Yeah. See, there that you go. Cool. You're thinking of the Bond thing. I'm just being selfish.
Yeah. That's what I was like. When you said the Superdome, right. I was like, hold on, what? Y'all met at Truist.
We didn't meet there. Oh, I got her job there.
Oh,
but,
okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Hell yeah.
No, we were on the field after the NLCS together and whatnot.
Home plate?
Yeah. You're right.
Home plate at Truist.
Damn, Bo.
I hope that happens because I would assume we would be there. So that would be. That'd be fun.
I think Bo would.
Now
have,
I'm being selfish.
I would.
No, you would most certainly be there.
I think Bo and Tara's wedding would be the most laid back, chilled, optional if you want to wear a tux or not, dress up place.
I agree. I think Bo obviously could say, but I agree with that. But I also think it might then be one of the most fun receptions.
Yes.
Like ever.
Oh, because we would have like WWE entrances and stuff. Like, because y'all would probably be in the wedding party.
It would just be a flat out party.
Yeah. It would be. Oh yeah, it would be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty. Almost cussed. It'd be pretty cool.
All right, come on. Or do what you want, but.
So the Carolina Panthers this season are using Xavier Leggett to market a brand new item on their in-stadium menu. Would you care to guess?
Horse.
They ain't selling no damn horse.
My bad.
Horse is very tough to eat, so I've heard. I've never had it.
Oh, I'm about to say.
And he loves horses. He would never do
that. Yeah.
How about raccoon?
Hell no. They're not selling raccoon in the stadium.
The sandwich is called the Masked Bandit, and it's only raccoon-themed.
Oh,
I wanted to keep you going there.
I know damn well.
For as long as I could.
I was going to say, I've got some relatives in North Carolina.
It does actually
raccoon.
Sound like a pretty good sandwich. So it's brisket, which I absolutely love some good brisket. It's got some kind of funky slaw barbecue sauce. And then the bun that they use is, I guess it's a mixture of like rye and white bread because it's striped.
Okay.
So it looks like a raccoon.
Tail. Okay.
That sounds really good.
The Masked Bandit. It does sound really good. So Masked Bandit.
He better get his stuff together on the field.
Man.
Oh, what happened?
Taking plays off, knowing where he's supposed to be. It
was not a good week one for him.
Not a good look. No. And for him to be like arguably one or two with Tet, like they got nobody else, really.
Yeah, man.
After he shipped off Thielen.
He did not have a good game one.
Uh-oh. Here's your opportunity, young fella. Learn what you're supposed to be doing on the football field because standing around is usually not a good
thing. It's not a good thing.
So on to a little bit of college football stuff here. So if you did not know who Haley Sawyer is.
You didn't.
Let me inform
not
you.
Not one is, clue.
You didn't.
She is a reporter for USC, but she is also Abe Gordon's favorite reporter.
Wait, for this
reason. After Florida loses to UCF last weekend, Haley Sawyer actually moved Florida up in her AP poll. She's an AP poll voter. Moved Florida up to 14. Didn't even include UCF or USF. Was it USF? UCF, one
USF.
Of those. All right. So here's Haley Sawyer making a comment on how she chooses who she votes for in the AP poll.
As far as what my votes are and what my process is, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time with.
Well, she's right. Eight people doesn't matter.
That's true.
It doesn't matter. I saw the clip, but I didn't listen to the volume. This is my first time seeing the volume. But I saw the quote tweets and everything of how mad people are at this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept saying to myself, self, you remember my new phrase, is it that serious?
It definitely isn't that serious.
Probably not that serious to be chastising the woman, but like
they were
kind of.
They were going at this lady.
But it's also not great.
No,
right?
It's not. Like, well, it's not a good look.
But the thing about it, it's not going to have any determining factor on anything.
No, it isn't. Definitely not.
Yeah.
But it is like a part of what she does.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Not a huge part. Like, obviously, she's covering USC football.
Is she
going to
be in Grapevine?
No.
Okay.
She's not going to be a part of that.
Okay.
But that also does kind of speaks to that to me, which is, I think it surprises people, and this is what makes people mad, is college football fans love college football with a passion that is almost unrivaled.
Right.
And then the thought that there's people that work in college football that don't.
Okay. I mean, I get that part.
That infuriates
people. I get you that part
right
there.
That bothers me a little bit too, just because it's like, you know, and again, she probably takes the important parts of her job very seriously,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is not nearly as important.
How do you get an AP vote?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. And there are a lot of people that vote for it and all of that kind of stuff.
I would imagine, but if you worked for a local newspaper that covers any D1 school or whatever, you
can
probably
we get AP
vote.
Things?
We probably could.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't.
Probably.
I don't want to.
I'm sure BA like
that.
Has a vote.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's just pretty bare minimum to me. To just at least check the box scores, right? Like, she didn't know that Florida lost.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
You know what I mean?
I understand that. Like, I understand that.
But this also kind of, I mean, it's not on the same level, but this, there are people that have votes for things. And look, it matters to some people. And where your school's ranked in the AP vote will matter to somebody to get a job or to not get a job or, you know, at some point possibly.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that have votes for things that probably shouldn't have votes for things that.
I agree with that.
If you're not going to take it seriously, don't do it.
That's
I
right.
agree with that.
That's right. You don't have to do it.
It is like, something that people look at, and a lot of people take it seriously, although it won't ultimately matter in the end. It don't matter this week.
That's the funniest thing, real quick, Bo. It said, new Michigan super booster, Larry Allison. He's really, really rich, Andy.
Where's he rich from?
I don't know. Has passed Elon Musk as the richest person in the world.
Oh, wow.
Quote tweet, hide your receivers. Hide your linemen.
They're coming for
hide
them.
Your receivers.
Oracle.
He's coming for them. He's an Oracle guy. Okay. Uh-huh. He's coming for you. He's coming for you players.
Michigan?
Yes.
This here says he went to the University of Chicago.
Well, it says right here on three,
no, I buy,
Michigan super booster.
Yeah,
don't mean necessarily he went to Michigan.
Oh, he's right. Just a fan.
He's a super booster.
A fan.
He's like, give money to University of Chicago won't make
he played. He played an integral role in the Wolves' pursuit of Bryce Underwood.
Okay.
Oh, hell.
Sandy.
He went to Illinois.
He went to Illinois, and he's a Michigan super booster?
They can't. The Illini can't get some, like some receivers, too?
Boosters? Wow.
Well, wow.
Say super.
Maybe he didn't have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe his wife went there.
So you mentioned ball snatcher Karen yesterday from the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, yeah, we did briefly mention that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So despite everything that's happening to her, the University of Alabama also has a Karen, and somebody in Tuscaloosa caught up to this woman at a gas station, talking about what she may do if she were to win the recent $1.2 billion Powerball.
I tell you exactly what I'd do with the first $70 million. What? I'd pay off Kalen DeBoer and get him the heck out of the University of Alabama, and then I'd take whatever else it took to get rid of the AD.
Damn.
Oh, man. I love these people that roam the streets with microphones.
They are very upset with him.
They are. I can't. I honestly think that every Alabama fan that I know, and it's not that many, but it's not none. Like, I probably know 10 to 15 Alabama fans well enough for them to have my phone number.
Yes.
They have all texted me, including Mike Johnson. I'm going to put you out there, Mike, including Mike Johnson,
right,
and asked me if I would take Kalen DeBoer back. First of all,
Big Mike accident.
First of all, that's not how it works.
Oh,
okay. You hired him. You took him. By the way, but yeah, I'd take him.
There will never be another Nick Saban.
He took
that's people need to realize.
Yeah. We went to the national championship with him. I'll take him back.
My thing is with the whole Phillies lady, Bo. They found. I guess they got the wrong lady. They were harassing that. Like, I always say this. This is always. If you are going to be dumb enough to try to attack somebody, know who you're attacking. That lady ain't bought. That ain't the same lady that everybody was going at.
At least attack.
At
the
least
right
attack
person.
The right one. You know, because she was a dumbass. All right, you took that ball from that baby.
Yeah.
It wasn't that.
So, well, a lot of people were attacking the right lady. There was another lady.
They finally found the right
two
lady.
Two-color hair. That,
yeah. Ain't no way in the hell I would have gave that ball back.
Yeah, Karen Bob. You didn't have to give it to
her. I wouldn't have gave that ball back.
Because it was for the kid, right?
He had already given it to the kid. He took it back from the kid and gave it to her just because she was throwing so much of a fit about it.
Well, you keep throwing a damn fit. Security!
Yeah, this lady looks crazy. My son has a ball now. We're good. You're not going to take it from him. Right?
Security. I mean,
it seems like a pretty easy one just to tell her no.
I ain't never ever called for security before. I sure would have called him then.
The kid ended up on the better side of this.
It worked out right. The people that behaved themselves ended up
correct. And that's usually what happens. When teams find out about stuff, kudos to professional sports teams and make things like that happen.
Agreed. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Mark Schlereth gonna join us, our Odyssey NFL insider at 1:20 as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.